Go ahead and start our second monthly meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, January the 28th. Stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okie dokie, approval of agenda. I understand we have an agenda item we want to add on the first reading?
We have two.
Two?
We have Kevin Elf's, his contract with us expired the end of December.
That's already on the agenda.
Sea Run Consulting, I'm sorry. I knew it was another contract that expired. Sea Run Consulting is the, our permitting firm that does, is currently involved in the breakwater permitting, you know, did the AV dock and all the rest of it, so.
Okay, so we'll add.
Then the org chart. We want to talk about that yard position again.
Okay, so that'd be on a, that's a first reading then?
First reading.
Yeah, okay, so that'll be a C then. Org, sorry. Okay, any other additions to the agenda?
Nope.
Okay.
Except this shows an executive session. We don't need an executive session.
Oh, we're not going to have an executive session then? Okay. All right, so we'll cross that out. Okay, so I have an approval for the agenda approved as modified.
Make a motion.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Okay, consent agenda. Has anyone read the consent agenda? I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Public comments not related to the agenda. Any public comments out there? Going once? Going twice? No public comments. All right, then let's delve right into the second reading, action items. Committee list follow-up.
Yeah, we discussed this 2 weeks ago, as we do every January, with all the various committees we sit on. There's two, and I sent you an email. I got an email from the county. We need one of you elected commissioners to sit on the Joint Growth Management Steering Committee, which is part of the Growth Management Act that counties and cities, where they go through an update of their comprehensive plans, which kind of dictate land use, zoning, there's an economic development chapter, transportation chapter, et cetera. They are going to be calling the first meeting probably by the end of February. And I don't know how many meetings will be, it's at the discretion of the county, but there's one board commissioner at the table, two city council members, and the three county commissioners.
Is there a PUD commissioner on it too?
No.
No.
So this is a pretty important, at least in my mind, a pretty important role for commissioner. I'll probably attend all the meetings too, just so I have the background, any staff follow-up to do. But their goal is to have a draft of the updated comprehensive plan by the end of the year. They don't have to have it adopted till the end of 2016, but it has to go through the county planning commission and their public process, and then back to the county commissioners, and then they do the formal public hearing, et cetera. So it's a two-year process.
So, having thought about it, I realize
there's no extra pay for it. Other than you get to charge that meeting as part of your.
So, did any of you guys have a burning desire to do it? Because I kind of wouldn't mind doing it myself.
And we should have an alternate too.
Yeah, I know.
We should have an alternate in case you can't make one.
I can do that, the alternate.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then I guess that's it.
And I'll tell, send an email back to Carl at the county tomorrow.
Okay.
And the other one we need, it definitely has to be a commissioner. Pete, you've been for this past year is on the Regional Transportation Planning Organization. This is not the Technical Advisory Committee that I sit on.
Okay.
This is the bigger one. We need a primary and alternate for that, so.
I wouldn't mind continuing it. It's interesting from the boat world, but I'm happy to, if anybody's got a burning desire.
There hasn't been a lot of activity this past year.
I plan on attending some of those as well.
Okay.
I'll just stay as the alternate.
All right, cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of this, if there is any activity in that one, it'll probably be after June, after the legislature gets done. You'll tell Doran Transportation what kind of budget they have. They're not going to be doing much the next 6 months.
So how come this, have they been idle so much with this growth steering committee? What's the deal with that?
Well, it's on call as needed basis. They did have a meeting, Leaf went to it about 2 years ago. Who was that consultant?
Hovey
out of Portland, or Vancouver, was it?
2 years is a long time.
I know, who did some, ran some numbers, I can't even remember why the county commissioners had it, but they called it, and that was the last time. They have to call the steering committee as part of the comprehensive plan update. That's the state law. And once this is done, chances are you probably won't see it again for, unless there's some sort of emergency in the, or they got to do some other comp plan emergency update.
The real purpose of the committee is to kind of coordinate the activities of the jurisdictions that are charged with implementing the Growth Management Act to ensure that the plans and regulations, implementing regulations that are adopted to fulfill the requirements of the GMA are regionally coordinated and consistent with one another. So that's really the chief purpose and why they typically kind of go on hiatus when the plans aren't being amended or when they're not going through a significant periodic update, which is the case for both the city and county in 2016.
Of course, our primary issue is we don't want them getting off on a tangent that stops us from being able to carry out our primary mission. And especially if it's counter to what we've adopted as our comprehensive scheme of harbor improvements. So it's nice that we're at the table. But,
and the way I understand it, and maybe I'm wrong, but I know that in some committees that I'm on, the alternate, the main person and the alternate all attend all the time. And so if you want to go and you want to have some input, then that's perfectly fine.
Now, the very first meeting would be a rather boring one, and it might take two or three meetings because in the past it's been a contentious one. Before they start any serious planning, the city, the port, and the county all have to agree on what we think the future population growth is going to be for Jefferson County. And that may not seem like a big deal, but it's what drives the rest of the plan. And they'll essentially have some numbers from the state. It'll kind of be a spectrum of a low growth rate to a high growth rate. And the higher the growth rate, that drives more infrastructure, more development. So you got the anti-growthers wanting the low number, and you know, so battles. And then you, not to belabor this, but then you got the city, who's got their own comprehensive planning process in the GMA, who's trying to get their piece of the pie with the county, and you could find yourself sitting on the side of the spectator watching those two entities.
If I can elaborate, I would anticipate it to be right up there with Solomon X in terms of the level of stimulation. I think that, you know, the county and city, I think, have agreed in principle to adopting the state's mid-range forecast for the end of the planning period, which is 2036. That's a continuation of what they've done in both the last two iterations of the plan. Ironically, the OFM, the Office of Financial Management, which publishes those and prepares those projections, sees the population of Jefferson County in 2036 being actually less than was forecast under the prior range of forecasts for the year 2024. So the number's actually going in the opposite direction. So the plans of both the county and city in terms of like sizing facilities to, you know, address the capacities that would be necessary to serve the future population, none of that is likely to be an issue. So it's probably, it's largely going to be kind of a technical jumping exercise to ensure that both jurisdictions maintain technical compliance with the Growth Management Act. I don't see a whole lot of drama. Although when the city and county are involved, you can never
really
write that off entirely.
But it is an opportunity. Some of the things that we've talked about, like trying to spur on the ag sector and things like that, those topics will come up in future meetings. So, okay.
So, do we have the final list then? I don't see a list in the packet. Do we have a final list that's then nailed down that has the final?
We probably need to, now we, I was concerned about those two because we needed to get names to the entities. So, we got the trustee down last time. So, why don't you publish a fresh list and send it out to the commissioners? And some of those, I need to triage it too, so it'd be like the Environmental Committee for WPPA. I don't know if we need that on there anymore because they're not going to hold a separate committee meeting anymore.
Are they going to do that with airplanes too?
I think so. They're going to have all those committee meetings at the spring and winter meeting. They're not going to hold individual meetings like in October or say for transportation, things like that.
Unless we complain about it too loudly.
Unless they really complain about it, yeah.
I really like that environmental one. That was a good one. Okay, anything else on the committee list follow up then? Nope. We nailed it. Okay, delegation of authority resolution 62315.
We presented this last time. It's good to just reapprove this every year. Because one of the elements of it is the ability to disperse of excess property and things like that. That has to be an annual readoption. The only thing that we did change, which we mentioned last time, was the spending limit for me from $15,000 to $25,000 with the follow-on directive that any contracts that exceed or up to that amount will be reported at the next regular commission meeting. And of course, every meeting you got your vouchers, which I encourage you, like you did today, Steve. If you have any questions, you know, always call Amy or me or somebody. But it's $15,000 now. Ozzy and I were talking. We think $25,000 would be a little more flexibility, but I'm not going to fall on my sword over this. So
is there any discussion on the resolution?
Well, I just reiterate what I said last time, that I'd like to see some discussion about, you know, looking at areas of cost cutting in the future. We haven't had much dialogue with that as far as, you know, our expenditures, but aside from that, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I would just echo Brad that hopefully the retreat sets discussed lively.
Yeah, well, as far as cost cutting, I guess that this resolution really just sets the limits for Larry. I'm not sure how we would incorporate cost cutting.
Well, I'm not asking you to. I'm just.
Yeah. Okay, well, and as far as the
subject, that's all.
Okay, so then I move that we approve resolution 63-15.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, first reading, discussion only, professional service contract with Kevin Ella. Kevin's not here, is he?
He's trying. Yeah,
he's going to try to make it back.
You know, you have as part of your packet there a new scope of work. And essentially, you know, he runs our website. And if you look at the scope of work, the first section is the website. And that's really the only area where any technical capabilities are. The second section is kind of the softer skills, you know, working with media, social media, helping to do news releases, that sort of thing. You know, it's the first reading. He's still with us. I don't like having somebody doing work that we don't have under contract, but you know, knowing Kevin, we can work with that. So I don't know if there's any discussion on this.
I had a couple of comments. I was the one that brought this up today, and the reason is I really want us to get pushing on a newsletter. I think we're remiss that we aren't putting out newsletters.
Like the quarterly newsletter?
Exactly.
Like we used to?
Like we used to.
Paper copy or?
You know, I don't know. I think, and that's a kind of a question for the audience and a question for Kevin as well. But it just seems like having, particularly Kevin, because I know he can, he does that well, he can write well, he can design well. I think we could get that, put that on him and get that out the door pretty quick. And the second thing is, I'd really like to see us get going. You know, when we first started a year ago, Brad and I, we were kicking around the column, the idea of a newspaper column with different things that are happening. And
published in the newspaper.
Yeah, yeah. And at the time, it was like, okay, we're going to do this weekly. We're going to do, but maybe it's once a month, maybe it's once a quarter, or something like that. But particularly issues like where we're raising yard rates, or we're taking away discounts from the yard. You know, tradespeople came and kind of rattled staff about, well, we didn't see that, we didn't know that was happening, and yeah, we were sitting here for 3 months talking about it, but still, you know, they're working, so they're not coming over here to listen to that. So having things like that thrown into that column would certainly keep staff from getting thrown under the bus in terms of, you know, right there, it's in the column, A2, there's what's happening with the port, blah, blah, blah. And I think that would be a great thing for Kevin to sink his teeth into as well, once a month or once a quarter or whatever.
I'm all for that.
So then what we need to do then is modify the scope of work at the back?
Just, you know, I just heard about 2 minutes ago the idea of cutting expenses, so this is another more money out the door.
See, my own personal opinion is that the leader should be, I mean, we should probably have Kevin formulating stuff that would be newsworthy.
Right.
The leader should then publish, because that's their job, is to inform the public.
Yeah.
I think that what we're hearing now is that the thing that we're talking about is buying space in the leader.
That's buying space, yeah. And the other one is press releases. He can, and we do lots of press releases with him. So
Steve, in this scope of work, we envision this. If you look at the second paragraph, it's local and regional media. It's all county mailings for newsletters.
So we're talking about the scope of work around that.
Yeah,
scope of work.
In the
packet. So Kevin's up to this. He put that in the scope of work because we have been talking about this for the last month of how we'd like to change his focus from technical stuff that he's been doing to more public relations, community outreach.
Now we, in the scope of work, you know, it's at the very bottom, we not to exceed $20,000. So we need to just kind of watch that as we go through the year, that it don't keep meeting himself and suddenly.
And last year was 25, was it, is that right?
Well, he only spent 12.
Yeah, but he only spent 12.
12, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think the contract is for 24, but then he didn't get started until halfway through. So.
But things like newsletters take a lot of time. I bet he'd be good at it, but it's not something you just crank out one afternoon, and it's probably going to involve taking pictures, meeting with marine trades, you know, depending on the articles and that sort of thing. I sat down with Scott Wilson some time ago on this idea of buying space. And the idea would be it would always be like the top right of the second, you know, when you open the page, top right of page 3, or, you know, so it's always in the same place. He wanted us to do it every week. And I just told him that's just, you know, that's all we'd be doing is writing for his newspaper. And I think once a month is the most we should do, and what his hope is that if we do it, then the city will think
and
they
the
have to do it, then the county and the PUD, and of course his job is to fill up his newspaper. So
I don't know if you did catch the Working Waterfront and the Leader, an excellent article on the port. So
I did not.
Patrick did a good job. He interviewed Larry and did a great job.
So it's. Is this Kevin's number, the 20, or is this the staff's number?
That's Kevin's number.
That's Kevin's
number. So does that number include the thing that you just brought up, though?
Yes, it does.
Well,
it does include the...
mailing, not the actual postage.
Right, not the
postage
stamp.
Creating the quarterly...
Right.
Good, my mom will be tickled at that. She really misses those.
Or printing. It doesn't cover printing.
It doesn't cover printing or postage, if we did it.
Well, then would this also cover the weekly thing if we decided to do that in the newspaper? I mean, this is, we seem to be adding a lot of stuff.
Local and regional media, I would think that would fall under that.
I think what you need now is for us, now that we know what your wishes are, to come back with the detail of what his time plus all the media and printing would be, knowing a quarterly newsletter mailed out.
You'll also be paying the leader and paying for printing would be in addition to what we pay Kevin. Yeah. So.
A lot of it's going to determine on what audience you want to reach. Do you want to reach the entire community? Or do you want to reach our tenants? There are different messages and different scopes, so we need to hone in on that. Do we want to reach all 17,000 people?
That might be another good topic for our retreats, too. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're up to about 47 topics now. But
I just would like to throw in a word about Kevin, because I update the website. The website is so much easier to work with. And anytime something needs to be changed or a new idea, Kevin usually is right on it. And it's been so much easier than the old Macromedia stuff we worked with before. So.
Well, one way to look at it maybe is we could end up at 20 with Kevin's contract and what we were hoping, you know, it was originally 24.5, so maybe that 45 would cover some expenses that. So maybe we'd end up with originally what we were going to start with the...
Well, let's get those numbers, like what it costs to run one printing.
Okay.
Because maybe we don't want to do it quarterly, maybe every 4 months instead of every 3 months or something, if it's too much money or something like that.
Yeah. I think it's good. I think it's good to be transparent. I think this really helps.
Yeah, and I'd like to inform the whole community, too. I mean, just talking to the... to the court, there are the main people we interact with on it, but we're the whole county's support. So I mean, we need to let everyone know about what's going on. And a lot of people won't be interested, but a lot of people might go, oh, geez, that's right, we do have a port here.
But well, they're our taxpayers. They're taxpayers.
Right.
What we do have, we can utilize more our billing, stuffing notices in our billing. That way we don't have to incur additional costs and postage. We can use in our facsimile to get the details out that you're talking about. We're raising rates.
Right.
Things like that can go in the billing, which would be a lot
more efficient.
Bertram, do you have a comment?
I find the David King's insert that comes in the bill is very helpful, very informative, simple mimeograph sheet. And I agree with Jim that the stakeholders really the people that are most interested in this, and maybe that most of the people in the county aren't, so we might just consider studying that or at least try a pilot project just informing the stakeholders, not just tenants, but, you know, and see how that works and see what kind of feedback you get. Because the glass things were, that's expensive, and I'm not sure
about that too.
Anything, you know?
And that's what I was saying the same thing to Steve the other day. I never go to the city's website, but I pay their water bill and I read, you know, the two pages that they have in there. So it's
yes, I've been told that I need to try to get as good as David King on my little messages. He's a good one to emulate. Yes, Bill.
Just to throw it out there, the offer to have a regular. Radio interview thing is open and priced attractively.
You buy me lunch, no?
Well, speaking of that, isn't Al Cairns being interviewed on the 30th Friday at 1:30 or so?
Surprised me. That would be Bill.
Our environmental officer.
So yeah, I would think you know the way to do it if you were going to do something like that would be like to rotate a commissioner and somebody from the staff, and you know, you could kind of pick your venue and have it on a regular basis so people would know when to tune in.
Have you got any deal for how big of a population you reach?
Well, I don't know. Probably.
I know how far your signal goes, but how many people are listening to you?
I think that we do a pretty decent job. For part of the years, part of the time, you know, not everybody's taste runs to Roman music.
You've never done any surveys or?
There's, because we're not in a major metropolitan area and because we're non-commercial, there's no real way to get those numbers without, you know, seeing what people's reviews are.
Yeah, well, that was interesting, because I did, I was agonizing over one of the messages I made for the commission, and I, and Kevin came over, and we looked at the people that read it, and there was 23 hits, and I was probably three of them myself. So it's interesting to find out how limited, or, I mean, I'm not sure how you would find it, because you can't go look at the web demographics, it's just all through the air, so. Okay, any more discussion on that? We'll continue that next time. Then we'll go on to item B, the C-Run Cutthroating, the C-Run Cutthroat Consulting. C-Run Cutthroat, yeah, no, C-Run Consulting.
So, this is, we talked about last week, you give you the permitting for the breakwater. This is basically all the technical support that staff will need to submit to the Corps of Engineers. The good news with this, I was pleasantly surprised, we budgeted $40,000 in our capital budget for permitting this year, and this is coming in at $24,500. So Allison is the best in the business, and she will do the best job for us in getting our permits within the next 18 months.
Now, is there a reason that it was so much less? I mean, is this a simpler permitting thing than we were anticipating, well, so things could go really smooth?
It is, because she was the one that permitted Point Hudson docks. So all of her technical biological assessments already done in her computer, so she can go back and do that complete biological assessment, update it, and get the data so much easier than someone starting from square one.
I love the acronyms.
So I was curious about in the proposal, it mentioned about dealing with the riprap. You know, and we've had these discussions, and they're all worried about the
whatever points.
Yeah, and so, I mean, this talks about the removal of the riprap. I mean, is that still on the table, that this buck can be relocated as opposed to being removed?
She thinks DNR will probably buy off on it if we can get the rubble out far enough. Into, you know, there's that kind of a ledge not very far out, get it out there so it's not on the beach area where the eelgrass and everything else is. So
just an update on that today, because I met with Tyke for 2 hours today. The Corps is worried about contamination of riprap above 20 feet. The possibility of, what do they call them, dioxins? You know, from the air getting on the riprap and being contaminated. So their new thing is they'll look at it, but they're not going to guarantee that all of the riprap. Tyke believes that the 20 foot and below, but there's not a lot of riprap 20 foot and below, because that's where the shelf drops off. So we're working on that. So I don't want to guarantee anyone we can do that. Allison is working with Tyke, they're working with Shane. And we're trying to, we understand the issue, we're just trying to figure out if we can get it done.
What kind of a world have we built?
I know.
Contaminated rocks.
Nothing towards you, Larry. This sounds like a Pentagon going on here.
Yeah, the Pentagon would have already pushed this thing over by now. But I can see them saying, well, you got a paper mill within 3 miles, therefore you can't do this, you know.
But more to follow. We don't know what we don't know. Yeah. This is going to get her working on that, but she's fully aware that we want to get the riprap in the habitat.
Well, would it be useful to include in this, since we're talking about putting stuff down there at the base of this, to maybe start discussions with DNR about a perhaps derelict vessel being dumped down there? Because I've been talking to people, because on the East Coast, there's a lot of government money that goes toward dumping old concrete and stuff down there, big old pieces of concrete foundations. They dump it out for habitat, and they get paid a lot of money by the government to do that, to create habitat. And so I realize that's a whole different world on the East Coast. But still, I would think that if we're actually starting to pursue this, perhaps now would be a good time to start asking DNR and figure out, you know, what their issues would be.
I don't know, and I'll call DNR on it. I don't know if I want to tie it to our breakwater project.
Yeah. Really?
You know, okay. We want that to keep moving and... But I'll ask the question, but it's not just a different world, it's a different universe out here compared to the East Coast. So.
it would be beneficial if the commission would vote on possible immediate action on this, because I'd like to get Allison working as soon as possible. She's not working right now, so it's your call if you want to enter.
Is this the second reading?
No, this is the first reading.
That's another 2 weeks of.
Well, this isn't really a policy. I think our real hardcore rule is policy decisions. We do two readings. This is just a contract, and I don't see any reason why we couldn't take a unanimous vote of the commission and approve it now.
I just want to ask, there's not like we have a choice on other consultants that could do the same work. She's the only one that's got the
all the history.
We could go out and do an RFP, but that would take a lot of time.
We'd lose a month because we'd have to put in the paper and wait several weeks and interview. And
we have worked with MSA, and Amy Liebman's done. Actually, Amy Liebman's worked on this. She did the eelgrass study for us for this. But I believe with Allison's institutional knowledge of Point Hudson, I think it would go a lot quicker.
And she's already met with our engineering firm, Coast and Harbor, and gone through helping them make a design that she knows would be more acceptable to the permitting agency. So she has that extra knowledge already.
Just had to ask.
Yep.
So we have a motion to bypass the second reading and do this tonight?
I make the motion.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I guess that means that we now need to move to hire Amy. I'll make that motion.
Not Amy.
Allison. I'll make that motion. All in favor?
Second.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Somewhere.
I'll make that the contract as presented.
The orgs chart, organization chart.
Jim?
We talked about this last meeting. We had some events. We knew some of it was coming. The commission asked staff to come up with a way to help Shannon in the art office. And I think we've done that. What we've done is we've promoted Terry Kyle, who's got great customer service skills, great computer skills. He's going to be able to come into the office and be an office manager and help Shannon out with the customers. What that is going to take away from us, though, is the 30 years of experience Doug Lockhart has in hauling boats, because Terry's not going to be doing that. He's going to be administering the yard. So Doug has come to me and said that he believes before he retires that he needs to leave an organization at Senate. In the middle of all this, we have a yard employee that's going to be on long-term medical disability, and it could be up to 3 months, and after 3 months, we're not sure he's going to be able to come back. So we're at a point now where if we have someone injured or sick, we won't be able to haul a 300-ton boat. We're down that low. So we all feel that we need to really hire another hoist op one and put it in the yard. So we've given you a org chart here. The org chart, unfortunately, that was in the packet has an error in it. This says we have two hoist op twos. We don't. Well, Jimmy was one of them, and when Jimmy left, the org chart didn't get changed because he hasn't been gone. So that's the difference. So we have Sean at hoist op three. We've got TJ at hoist op two. And then our other hoist ops are hoist op one, or entry-level hoist ops. And that's what we're proposing to hire. So
where's Malika?
Malachi's a hoist op one, as is Christian. So we have Christian, Malachi, and Tim Nelson.
Wait a minute. Tim Nelson?
He's a hoist op one. He is on medical leave for 3 months, and he won't. So he's not here right now.
So we really only have four hoist operators. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm, right.
That we can use.
Right. And so, by our policy, when we haul 300-ton boats, we need three, and that can take 4 or 5 hours, three people. So it's putting us in a position at a time of the year when we're going to start ramping up that we need help. And I know it's another employee, but if we're going to continue the pace of hauling boats like we have the last 2 years, we'll start breaking people really bad.
April, May, June is the busiest quarter of the year for the hollow.
Okay, so just so I got this straight, the yard staff that's on this org chart, there's only one hoist op two, is that correct?
One hoist op two, yes.
So I crossed out a hoist op two, so I have one. So I have Sean as the hoist op three, TJ as a hoist op two, Malachi as a hoist op one, and Christian as a hoist op one. That's our entire crew now, right?
And then you have, Charlie.
Charlie's a shared
leader. Yeah, Charlie's a shared, and Larry Ozzie stepped up to the plate this week to really fill in some holes with Charlie. But that, of course, is hurting maintenance, who's trying to get a sand filter installed. So we're right on the brink of, you know, we're really worried if we have another injury or another person out sick.
Okay, so where on this org chart is a shared guy?
It's down at the bottom. You can see facility maintenance and yard labor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there he is. Okay, there's Charlie.
And I can say, so what's going to happen is anytime that 300 tons moving, the 70s are going to be sitting still.
They're sitting still.
And
you need two guys to operate that.
It really gets frustrating when you're sitting there watching all that equipment sitting around.
So much for cost cutting, huh?
I know. I don't know what to do.
So how many people does it take to run the big one?
Three people.
Three.
Okay, so.
Yeah, well, that's our call, you know, for safety, you got to ground guides, et cetera. So.
That takes two on the 70s.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I've not been out there that much, but I heard that in the past, usually when it gets ramped up and it's a busy season like it has been recently, those hoists are like booked up for a long time ahead of time. In other words, you don't, there's not time for you just sitting around waiting for somebody to come in and buy your Subway sandwich.
They're just from April, the two smallest, they'll be solid from 7 o'clock in the morning, sometimes even past, we'll charge overtime. You know, a lot of times they'll do 8-9 boats on the small lifts in a day. Then one or two big ones, which takes a long time. So.
And so on this org chart here, the customer service rep is then going to be Terry? Is that?
Yeah, the customer service rep is Shannon.
Shannon. So you said that Terry was going to be helping Shannon?
Right. He's managing the office.
He's managing the entire yard. He's the supervisor.
Doug right now in the office about half time, maybe third time, and he's out in the yard hauling boats. And that's not going to be happening because Terry is going to be in the office helping Shannon and doing administrative work that needs to be done.
So even though the org chart's the same, the hoist yard manager is going to be out in the yard really doing right. The office. Yeah.
How they would cover it. Terry would be out there a lot.
We need somebody managing the yard itself. You know, helping with the environmental issues, dealing with the various customers, which Doug just doesn't have the time because he's out there running the lift. So,
will Terry be able to step in and help the hoist operators in times when you get somebody out sick? And
he can.
If it gets to be an emergency, he certainly could drive. Cause remember, he spent years and years doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he could easily drive. I wouldn't want him crawling around under the boats with its shoulder and everything, but.
When you look at our yard numbers, we're up 10% every year, and we're just, like I said, we're just killing our guys.
So you're calling Christian a full-time now? So
yes.
He's moved from seasonal to full-time? We don't have a seasonal right now.
We don't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we probably will in the summer, but it's
right.
Really
but at
busy.
The moment, we don't.
Well, you think so? Even on top of adding another hoist employee, you're still going to need an additional
part-time summer help.
Yeah, we need to see what the numbers look like to make that decision, I think, at the time.
Well, so in this old or this incorrect ops thing that we have here, I have a cross through the hoist op two. Is that because that was never one there? Or?
Well, Jimmy was there, and Jimmy left. Mm-hmm. Christian left. So he left mid-year so that the org chart didn't get changed when he left.
So then we're going back then to the previous staffing level that we had before he left, is that correct?
No, we've got the right amount of staff, we just don't have that promotion, that hoist op two, we're missing that key. It's a hoist op one that's filling that position. We still have five people that we had before, it's just we don't have a hoist op, we only have one hoist op two instead of two.
Five people, including Charlie, because I'm only counting four. Well, Sean, TJ, Malachi, and Christian.
And then Tim, but Tim's gone.
Tim's gone.
Right, okay, I see. Uh-huh.
Oh, is Tim on that?
Yeah, he's on this chart. And we have one, this thing says proposed. The hoist op one proposed is what we're asking for at the bottom.
So the hoist op two that I just crossed out should have had Tim, but then in parentheses because he's not really there then, right? So that would give us our five people.
Correct.
Because until I did that, I didn't see that we were adding a person because it had the same number. Okay.
I mean, the question is Tim going to be able to come back and do the job? Mm-hmm. Yes, and we won't know for 3 months. So, and that's the big question.
And we can always change it again and, you know, react to the schedule and everything else. So
what we need from us tonight is to determine whether, is this a first reading? Or is this something we need to...
It is a first reading.
Yeah.
I would like certainly to do it as soon as we can. But it's a first reading for you to consider.
Yeah, we're at the slowest time of the year right now, although Doug reported at our weekly staff meeting that the January numbers are higher than last January.
I know we're trying to get the Reddit in tomorrow, and it's and we're standby. It's pretty packed.
You know, this makes money. These people are bringing money into the port. So
I think I'm aiming for it. The only thing I'm concerned about is what's our commitment to Tim and then to the proposed operator. How do we
by union contract and a personnel policy we have to keep his job. It's kind of like similar when somebody goes in the military. You know, it's called to active duty. You've got to keep the job open. Mm-hmm. Now, whether he's going to come back or not, we don't know.
So then, if he does, do we end up with six guys then?
This position is only replacing Doug working in the yard. That's the only thing it's replacing.
Right.
So we're still actually going to be short with this new position because we're going to be missing Tim and Doug. Now, Doug is here for another 30 days, so we have through the month of February.
But number of employees in the yard is up one.
Yeah.
With this.
That's true.
If that's what you're asking.
So what about Doug coming back and working part-time? Is that any possibility?
We talked to him today about that.
We asked him that, and we talked to Amy. There's some rules with the state. Once you retire, you can only work so many hours without impacting your retirement. Unless you're...
He said his wife would kill him.
Well, I was going to put a little... Less, yeah, blunt. I wasn't sure the family was in, you know, force or
that. So I guess the other question is, in the winter, I mean, at our slowest time, are we ever at a point, if we're at five, or if we're at Sean, TJ, Tim, Malachi, and Christian, like last winter, let's say, and Doug, are we sitting around in the house some of the time, or is it...
They're always out cleaning the fence line, they're doing something, they help maintenance, clean the docks.
The lifts have to be maintained.
They painted the environmental center, so we try to keep them busy when we can.
But, again, we're seeing the last 3 years, the winter months are a lot busier than they were, say, 6-7 years ago. So it's less and less of that occurring.
And then,
you know, people, they have emergency vacation, their leaves, you know, they got to be gone for a week or two and sickness and everything else. So
then, like, per union, if Tim comes back and we've got the new guy, John Doe, and Tim's like, well, I want to keep going, we will keep the new guy.
It would be our intent to, yes.
Right. But if things were slow, do we have the ability to let the new guy go?
We do.
Yes.
We do a regret reduction of staff by union contract.
That's why I said you can revisit this, you know, 6-8 months from now and rework it again.
I think we should ask somebody. You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this it's not just us. It's all of Marine Trades, too. We got to keep those boats moving.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, John?
Especially from the Marine Trades point of view, this has been lots of times when there's been delays getting boats out of the water. The the yard guys are your face. Basically, people see the yard guys way more than anybody else. And they tend to work really hard and they break.
Yeah, they break.
And a lot of them work broken.
Yeah.
And,
that's where Tim was, broken.
I think it's a good idea to have enough people to do that job. And quite frankly, even in the slow times, I've seen them all working. So I don't see them sitting around.
No.
Doug's been really good about that. Keeping the staff busy. So I think it's important that you have enough personnel to do the job.
And I, just looking into the crystal ball, I'm just talking to Patrick Sullivan from the Leader about the boatyards, where we've lost over 40% of the boatyards in Puget Sound in the last 12 years. And if we can keep our boatyard active and moving, that bodes well for us. Not to wish any other boatyard ill will, but activity levels not going to go backwards, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So.
Speaking of that and the working waterfront that came out, it would have been a nice move on the port. I mean, it knows in retrospect to that article in there about Doug. Yeah. 5 years he's put in.
We got plans for Doug. So.
Okay, well, in order to do this tonight, we would have to do another first reading unanimous decision to do this tonight.
Yeah, let's do that. I make a motion that we do move it up.
Am I second?
Yeah, second.
Okay, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, then let's actually talk about make the motion to do the add a person to the yard staff. I make that motion.
Second.
As presented.
As presented.
As presented. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It'll still take a couple of weeks because we'll have an interview and all this stuff.
Okay. staff comments.
Connor.
Nothing to report.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Mm-hmm. It's good to be seen.
Amy.
The only thing I have is we're in the process of switching our depository account down to Kitsap Bank as Union Bank is closing their local branch, so we're moving that.
So they'll take all our quarters?
They will take all of our quarters.
Without complaining?
Yep.
And there's a Canadian one in the middle?
I made sure and told them how many quarters we deposited every year. Yes.
Okay.
So, and they were the... I contacted four banks, two did not respond to me, and they were the cheapest of the other ones.
Sue?
The boat show seems to be going pretty well. And I think that's about all right now.
Are we doing a drawing?
Yes.
At the end, yeah. We're doing two free nights of Morage and free haul up. So it'll be two drawings. I was there Saturday, and it was...
Yeah,
we've had well over 100 slips in the fishbowl there. So,
is it fully manned tomorrow? Because I might head that way.
Tomorrow, I think in the morning, I've got two. I think TJ and Christian are tomorrow. I can't remember. And then Terry's at night.
Yeah, the experienced people, we just have one person on. Some of the new guys, we double them up so they can learn. But with Tim being gone unexpectedly, he had volunteered for a couple of, so we've had to get some other staff to step in for that.
Okay.
Eric? A couple of brief updates. One being the planned retreat, which we have at least tentatively scheduled for February 23rd. I believe that's a Monday. And we're proposing that it be conducted in Fort Ludlow within the district a good location for it. We have a really nice facility there. What is the name of the?
It's the Fort Ludlow Inn.
Okay. And I think there's an opportunity to use their meeting space and then kind of decamp for lunch there as well.
And they're comping the room and us.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's a great deal. We've talked with David Goldsmith about facilitating this. Actually, what we've talked with him about is kind of preparing a proposal for a series of three retreats over the course of, say, the next 6 months or so. But we're really just focusing on the first retreat at the moment, with the proposal being that it be centered on assessing and improving the effectiveness of the commission in achieving the port's mission, kind of identifying what's working, what isn't, how staff can be of greater support and assistance in helping the commission achieve its mission, and time allowing in that first session, also teeing up a discussion as to what your priorities are collectively as a commission moving ahead. And those don't necessarily have to be like hard, you know, capital infrastructure priorities like the Point Hudson Jetty, but, you know, can be related to customer service or the or executive staff, commission dynamic, any number of things that you might identify. David is kind of noodling through some exercises that might help help you come together in identifying kind of your top 3 to 5 priorities, and then in subsequent session, we would work to more specifically identify concrete steps that we might take to help achieve the priorities and objectives that you identify. And I'm sure at one of these, should we decide to go through with all 3 of these sessions, would undoubtedly focus on capital planning as well, and identifying kind of your priorities for planning, budgeting, and future capital infrastructure projects. Which is a good segue. Do you have any questions on that one?
I'd like to see David work with the commissioners and staff too on trying to hone this down a little bit. I mean, I'd like to see some give and take in email back and forth so that, you know, we're not just, I don't want to just show up there and sit down.
Yeah. You need to be prepped a little bit and kind of think about some of these things. And
I will communicate that with him. We're waiting actually on a kind of written outline for this first session, and as soon as we have that, we'll share that with you for that your review and critical feedback. And
so we can massage that outline.
It's your retreat. You need to be comfortable with it. Just not us or David. So.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, staff is there to listen and to support and, you know, provide input as necessary. But this is all about helping the commission identify and achieve its objectives. With respect to capital planning, we had a discussion during your last meeting about our planned meeting with Harold Anderson of Quadra Engineering, which occurred this past Monday. And the purpose of that meeting was to just sort of think through and identify potential courses of action, potential alternatives for retaining engineering support to assist us in preparing a multi-year capital facilities plan. We kind of outlined 4 options at that meeting and kind of informally discussed the advantages and disadvantages and sort of the cost implications of those 4 options. They ranged from the first option being essentially no action, doing it in-house without engineering support, basically leaning on maintenance staff, Larry Owsley in particular, to help us identify kind of the project priorities moving ahead, to going out with a formal request for proposals for, you know, on a scoped project for assistance in preparing a capital facilities plan. The third option being an RFQ, basically going the route of soliciting on-call engineering support. And then finally, the option of in-house, either part or full-time, again, on a temporary basis, engineering support. We intend to have a memorandum and staff recommendation prepared for you for your next meeting, suggesting a path forward. Again, our object being roughly right. right rather than precisely wrong. We're acutely aware of the cost implications of all of this and want to make sure, however, that we're choosing a path that is likely to get us the best information at the lowest cost so that the exercise is worth doing in the first instance. So that's about where that one stands. We'll have more for you during your next meeting.
Thank you.
I just wanted to update you. You could have seen a mini excavator out on Sims Way this week. Larry Ozzie and crew have been, and Al have been installing the first of our sand filters out there. If you remember, part of our level three was to create some aluminum coffins, as Al calls them, to put biochar in. And those, number one has been installed. It should be finished by the end of this week. And then hopefully we can get Charlie back working with maintenance and not in the yard to start the install of sand filter two. So we're on track with the level three response. We've awarded the contract to Seton for the yard leg. That's going to be the vulture being manufactured as we speak. And I believe 10 days they're going to start. Seton in the yard in 10 days.
Is it going to require moving a lot of boats to get those vaults in? And
it is moving a lot of boats. And your favorite boat is giving us a lot of trouble. The ERP-J, trying to figure out where to put it and how to get it out of the way of that. And we have, of course, Pete Langley is going to be moving the wooden boat in the shed. Time is getting critical for that to happen also.
Oh, you mean that wooden boat that's all disassembled is going to have to be moved? I thought we determined that it didn't have to
be. It does have to be moved.
It's sitting on a trailer now ready to move, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's going to be taken to Pete Langley's place. So that's kind of in the works right now, too.
So the ERP-J is for sale?
Yeah.
You want to buy it?
Yeah, we have to get rid of that thing.
We're trying.
To go. That's all I
have.
Two things. If you remember when we built the new admin building, we built the entryway primarily for displaying artwork with the idea that we'd get with some of the art galleries and the art community to perhaps sponsor some gallery walks. Well, the first one, finally, is going to be the first Saturday in February. So it'll be a week from this coming Saturday. And you probably saw the sign next to Sue's desk there, you know, photographer, that's who's the, I forget her name, the artist. And we've got a banner, they'll be going up outside here in a few days, and we've got the hooks and everything. It's being co-sponsored by Sunrise Coffee and by the Chamber. And the Chamber's going to get a liquor license, and the brewery's going to provide beer, and Jim and I are going to provide some wine.
So that's going to be in the, all in the lobby?
Yeah. And upstairs, that we turned the whole building over.
Wow, maybe I'm a Neanderthal, but I'm not. I didn't realize. I thought I would just hang pictures on the wall and people come look at them. It's more than that, apparently, huh?
Have you ever done gallery walk?
No, I'm a Neanderthal.
It's a social
event. You got to eat cheese.
You got cheese and wine.
Oh, yeah.
And
crackers and
hors d'oeuvres and go from gallery to gallery.
It's euphemistically known in our neighborhood as snack walk.
Snack walk?
Snack walk, yeah.
It'll be nice for a lot of the community to come down and see.
I'm going to see you there, right?
So then the pictures are only actually there for that one night?
About 3 months.
Yeah, we'll leave them up.
They'll be hiding 3 months there. And we're hoping it'll be a rotating show where other artists
will come in, and we'll do another celebration after 90 days. But just to be clear, the port is not buying any alcohol. The brewery is donating it, and Jim and I are personally buying the wine. So,
put it in a taco bar.
Yeah. And that starts at 5:30 on the first Saturday of February. Y'all invited. And the other thing, just a reminder, every February we help sponsor the Olympic Peninsula Salmon Derby. This year it's on the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we've always comped the ramp fees. And we'll have, normally this time of year, we don't have the moorage office fully staffed throughout the weekend, especially on Sunday, but we will this weekend, both here and at Point Hudson. So that's all I have.
Okay, commissioner comments?
I got a couple. Okay. I don't know if I should bring these up here. So, one is Bill Putney had mentioned the chip sealing on a chunk of the airport road. You're looking at me like, don't bring that up.
You just beat me up on cutting back on expenses. That's another $50,000. That'll pay for the yard operator. Okay.
Do you know where I'm talking about?
I know exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, the county will go in only so far.
Right.
Yeah, it's a county road from Highway 19, well, essentially where the pavement.
Right.
But they refuse to do the loop unless we pay for it. Maybe we could hire Lakeside come. They're not going to do it this time of year. The weather's not.
Can't we just like go buy a chunk of something and roll it out ourselves?
I don't think so.
So, and then the other is, so the pad at the Spruce is kind of front and center in your face when you're sitting there on the deck looking at it. Are we going to do some triage with plants or anything?
As a landscaping plan.
Okay. Jim's looking at me like, whoa.
I think it looks interesting.
Are we talking about a pad for the
AWOS?
If you go to the Spruce, you're
right.
Standing in the deck, right here at the left is a big, looks like a power panel thing with a bunch of conduits.
It's a whole computer.
It's the computer, whole computer system in there that runs the whole system.
Full disclosure, right. The staff member wanted to put that out at the tower, but other people wanted to put it by the Spruce Goose, so I allowed that to happen.
Landscaping.
$820.
There you go. We have some arborvitae to plant around it, but it's still going to be a big cabin. That's where the entire computer system in the house is located.
So then a guy that we're working with in Seattle, PR, he is the, he's big in the news industry in Seattle. He's the ABC bureau chief there. And we were talking the other day, and somehow we got on to biochar. And the use of biochar, and he is actually doing a documentary on what municipalities are doing to mitigate environmental concerns. So I said, well,
he needs to come talk to us.
Yeah, so we may get some interesting press off of this thing. So I was just going to.
In fact, Al had a presentation put together because you guys are briefing the MRC next
week. Yeah, I was going to talk about that in my commission comments.
Sorry.
Well, that's interesting to know. He's going to be up here next week.
Good. He'll have to come here on Wednesday night because it's going to be Al and Francesco, the guy that developed this thing, are going to be giving a presentation to the local MRC, and it's got the little movie that Al did, and it'll be an ideal thing for him.
We could probably set up something during the
I'll mention that, because we were going to meet Thursday morning, and so that might work
well.
This is Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm. We could set up something on Thursday or
well,
something.
Well, anyway, it'd be good to hook, because I think there's going to be some interesting press on this. And that's it.
I was just wondering if anybody's had time to reach out to the EDC. I mentioned last meeting a little, about involving them or seeing if they could help with putting together a little study that demonstrates how important our breakwater is to the downtown community and how much that contributes to our local economy and so on.
What's
We have not, but
yeah.
We can do
that. Okay. I got the note up next to my computer along with some of the other notes, but
right.
The other thing that we don't we need to renew our EDC contract?
I don't recall the expiration date, but you're probably right. Yeah.
I thought our last payment just happened in on this last voucher, so it probably is due for renewal.
It expires the end of the year every year.
Yeah. We probably should come up with a list of things we want them to do, this being one of them, and some other.
All right, that's all I had.
Okay. I had an interesting opportunity last weekend to go down to the boat ramp with the natives had a commercial crab opening there, and like I said, I was pretty naive because all my friends always paid for boat ramp fees, and I didn't know that people wouldn't. Well, there's people that won't. So we collected quite a bit of money, but also I discovered that they're not really, I mean, if there's a little excuse for them to say not pay it, they won't, but if they understand, if there's a big pay sign or they understand that it's going to make the second boat lane or whatever, if there's people there to take the money from them, they're happy to. So I think that we've identified, we just came down for a couple hours, got $145. And I also, it was good for me to see it through the eyes of the people on the ground. You know, they actually do have a method of writing down license numbers. And so I've asked for a report to come through because we can track these license numbers. We could actually send them a bill if we wanted to. And I believe it would be good to track these license numbers to see how many people really actually are falling through the cracks and saying, oh, I'll come in Monday and get my, you know, thing, and then they never do. But while I was doing this, I was realizing this was really a hubbub of activity this weekend. And when you stop and think about it, that's a lot of economic action that's happening as a result of the fact that we have a place here for that to occur. And there's lots of families that are, you know, lots of fish buyers. The one New Day was down here with a truck. And so it was kind of gratifying to see all the energy and the activity and the stuff and realizing that that's what our mission is the economic development. We're keeping that going. One thing I think we need to do before the fish and derby is to get a garbage can out there, because we've put locks on the environmental centers. So if you have any garbage, like you pick it up off the parking lot, or you have your can that you want to put someplace beside on the ground, you can't. There's no place to put it. So we need to get a garbage can, even if it's just a big concrete thing, so somebody doesn't wander off with it that you can be dumped. For
both. Kind of the reason why we locked up the Enviro Center is because they were overflowing with the garbage.
Right, and to that point, if it's just a garbage can, one of those like city municipal ones with a little swingy lid on it, you can't stick a sofa in there. But I was down at the Spruce Goose before the pad was poured, having a piece of pie, and I saw the Environmental Center out there, and I wandered in to see what it was like, and because it doesn't have any locks on it, and there was a sofa and a lamp and a, you know, so the sofas have moved from here to there now. So it might be useful to either, you know, if it's successful here, to put a lock on it. And also, I think that we've had it successful long enough that we should be actively talking to D&M about reducing some pickup times, because we've now got a history of how little we've got, so we can maybe save some money on that. And
won't pick up a single garbage can, will they?
But we have reduced them last month. I mean, we did reduce a payment time. So
has it saved us money, though? I mean, that's...
It will, yeah.
Good, okay. So then the other thing I wanted to mention was that the biochar and the totes that we've made has actually been getting a little bit of attention in the environmental community. In the MRC, that's been kind of spreading around, and people are understanding that this is working here, and we're actually getting quite a bit of attention. And Al's going to do Al and Francesco, he's the guy that actually did the biochar for the mill, is going to get together and do a presentation to the MRC. And there's going to be people coming from other places to visit this MRC just to hear that presentation. So that's kind of a good thing. And we went to a spill response thing for a long 3-hour overview of our spill response, and it made me feel good to know that there's a lot of preparation and planning and thought that's gone into preparing for spill responses. And although I didn't really figure out, you know, where the keys actually are to that yellow trailer yet, Larry assures me we have them. So I wasn't sure what my role was. It just made me feel good to know that should something happen, Bob Hamlin, our emergency response guy, is well in hand and knows exactly what to do. And I feel better about not knowing where the keys to the yellow trailer are, because I realize there's people that have that.
You know, it might serve the commission well. You don't have to go to all of them. I go to all of them. Al's kind of my backup if I can't make it. Every 2 months, Bob puts on a couple of 2-3 hour, what he calls J-prep session. It's up at the firehouse up in Lawrence. They've got a real nice meeting room, which would have been better than the commission room today, which was extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, and the topics will change from month to month, but it's all about emergency response. You know, we talk earthquakes and floods and oil spills and everything else. So, you know, if you have a time, you know, might just, you know, sit in on one just to see. You know, it's the city, the county, you know, a lot of neighborhood groups. Of course, we're there. you know, the police department, sheriff is there, et cetera. So he does a great job, Bob does.
Okay, so that's all we have for tonight. The next public meeting will be the public workshop on Wednesday, February the 11th. And then the meeting after that would be at 1 o'clock. So this meeting is adjourned.
Steve, you did skip 9. You skipped.
I skipped what?
Oh, public
comment. I was going to say 9 in Latin.
We did.
I skipped from commissioner, from staff to commissioner. I'm sorry. Bill, do you have a public comment?
Just an aside, I guess. The placement of the power panel and all that stuff seems to have more to do with the septic system and all the control of the septic system being right there than the where the AWAS needed to be. And I kind of thought that the AWAS and all that stuff would be back, you know, towards the parking area, but I think they picked that spot because it was right in the midst of all the controls. It was where the control panel and the old power panel for the septic system came, so it's a lot of stuff junctioning there, and so that's how it got sited there.
Does anybody else say anything? Have you heard anything? Has anybody else commented on it?
I have somebody kind of calling me when I was standing out there with the guys working on it, but
yeah,
it's kind of a, you know, I.
It'll make it work.
Should we put a little educational sign on it or something? Advertise what it is?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking
it might invite somebody to break into it.
Maybe a pergola over it and a nice kind of like, you know, grapevines and raspberries or something, you know.
Paint the Seahawks color.
Okay, any other public comments? Vigo.
Just a comment. I don't really, maybe I missed something. My understanding was that Terry Kyle was hired to replace Doug Locker. Now you've got him doing somewhat of a different job. I wonder, what changed in the last 30 days? What's changed in the art? What did I miss? I've been to most of his meetings and I don't recall what's going on. I'm just surprised that he's been in the job, or, you know, I'm going to have a job about 30 days, now we're going to change it, and we don't get the second meeting. Again, maybe I missed something, but I'm going to be asking for job description in a couple of weeks. I got a problem.
Any other public comments? Okay, now we will adjourn the meeting.